It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin.
Next patient, please.
Oh, yeah. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fantabulous Seafood Shed.
Yep, yep.
Hey, so, man, I saw the new commercials from UJ. They were showing the pictures back in, way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And there was, that had to be in the 50s, because I think they had some 55 Chevrolets and stuff that was on there. And then it showed some 68 Camaros, 69 Camaros. And I'm going like, whoo, yeah, go get me one of them cars.
We got a few of those pictures hanging around the shop.
I bet you have. What is that? What's nice that car that's sitting out there on the lot?
It's a 29 Chevrolet, 1929 Chevrolet. It was taken in on trade in 1957.
What?
And been there ever since.
It'll never be sold.
Yeah, it's part of the family.
That's like UJ Incorporated, that car is.
Yep. But we've restored it and got it up and going, and I drive it in and out every day just to park it out front. So
now is it all original?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an all original. It's not a nut and bolt factory correct 100%.
Okay, but it's original, got the original motor, rear end, transmission, all the big pieces.
Motor, all that, the interior. I mean, we've taken a few liberties on the color and
that
kind of stuff.
Y'all shouldn't have done that, man. Y'all messing with stuff, man.
And made it where it will crank every time I get in it.
You didn't put no 283 in it, did you?
No. It's still got the original stow bolt 6. Yeah, 29 was the first year for the inline 6.
It's got a 6-cylinder in it.
Yep.
Thing would bark the tires.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So it's not exactly what I'd call a hot rod, but it's a,
don't think Bonnie and Clyde would have used that car?
Probably.
Yeah.
Especially if the key been sitting in it somewhere.
Oh, you mean just like really use
yeah.
it? Use
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like really
yeah,
use
like,
it.
I might want to buy this car. I'll bring back the pieces.
Right. Or I'll leave it somewhere. Y'all can come get it. Yeah.
So let's fix some cars.
Yeah.
Come on. I know there's somebody out there that needs some cars fixed. Yeah.
Looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Yeah, this is Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Oh, Lord. Man.
But I was just walking down the street kicking the tires.
Watch it. You need to leave them damn pointed toe shoes at home, though, when you do that.
And I got a bad toe.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. You got a turf toe?
Yeah.
I see the quarterback this weekend had a turf toe, so to give him a oversized shoe and put a special pad and all in it, he still hobbled around it.
Yeah.
Probably hurt him more if he'd had his regular shoe on.
It still worked, though.
Believe it or not, though, that is a very serious injury.
Have you had one of those?
No, but my grandfather was actually a podiatrist in Tuscaloosa and did a lot of work with the football team. He told me and showed me turf toe is pretty brutal.
Well, what the hell is a turf toe? I mean, what is it, you tear the nail off of the toe or something, or what?
Well, yeah, what happens is your second or third toe is like a hammer toe, and every time you run, it's snub face down, so it's literally grinding in and tearing that top of that toe up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's turf toe.
That don't sound fun at all.
No, I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about some of them fantabulous Mardi Gras drinks you got over there, or even one of them with a moon pie deal.
Oh, we're getting the ice cream from the lady over there in Mobile.
Cammie's,
And she's putting it together for us, and then we're flavoring it up and getting ready to get some beads and bring in some blackened alligator.
Oh, my Lord.
Of course, we already got the gumbo all day long that we do, and then just that outside seating. And, I mean, kind of Panini Pete's and a lot of our multiple brands that we have. We have a little Cajun intermingled in with the beignets, which we're actually taking that to market, and we're going to start bagging that up and start selling the world-famous beignets. Don't forget the lemon.
All right.
And probably grocery stores and places like that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that would be a cool move, Nick. Yeah.
And we're going to start doing shrimp boils on Saturdays, since it's football is over now. Everybody can come out and sit outside. Today was 77 degrees. It was unbelievable.
I know, man. Unbelievable. Here, you know, we're in January. And it's 70 something degrees.
we had the 8-foot alligator laying on this little mud pile behind the office right there, just sunbathing.
Man.
Stretching out.
Yep. He was absorbing that sun. You know, we were doing the remote over there the other day and last week, and that sucker was down in the weeds. Pete showed him to me. He said, okay, our guest is here. Y'all going to interview him now? I said, no, I don't think so.
He looks up at us and goes, I know you don't want to eat me.
I hear you. Man. So, but now you're talking about the beignets and all in these fantabulous drinks that you've got. Are they going to be served at all of your facilities now or what? Or just
Edge? Well, all the restaurants have their own different branding of what we call mixology. Ed's is that country mixology where we're doing those Bushwhackers, those adult milkshakes, that domestic draft beer, and margaritas and daiquiris, where Sunset Point is a little bit elevated mixology, and then Squid Ink, we even put Squid Ink in drinks.
Ooh.
So we just have kind of a blend. And then, you know, Panini Pizza's, Cafe Olé, little Bloody Marys, beignets, breakfast, famous sandwiches. And so we just have a different mixture of all the things that we sell.
Good gracious. I keep looking for the pasta deal to open up now.
Man, I'm going to break the machine out on Wednesday of this week, and we're going to start rolling some pasta through. So we're actually doing fresh pasta. So it's a machine that you actually make the dough, and then you bring it through the machine, and then each little hole in the machine has a different nipple or nozzle on it, and so that you'll eject that pasta dough out, a la make your linguine, make your rigatoni. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm not sure too many people around here have ever had fresh egg pasta, but
nope.
We are going to take a stab at it.
That's going to be awesome, man. That is unbelievable. But
as long as you don't come over there, Tom, and say noodles.
Man, I'll come get some noodles.
You call them noodles.
Come and get me some noodles, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, you know what? I don't like noodles either, so I can give that pasta a hello.
Yeah, we're going to make a homemade meatballs. We're excited about that, and then we're working on that food hall downtown.
Ooh, yeah. All right. But that's awesome, man. Anything else going on now? What's the other deal? You got your special dishes. I used to eat a dish that you had over there with the oysters on turnips on a little serving tray.
Oh, yeah. We did it. We do the roasted oysters over top of the collard turnips. And then top them with the crunchy fried cornbread. We do those as a special. I mean, right now we're going to add another Cajun pasta for Mardi Gras that has some blackened alligator. We're going to do some alligator apps, and then we're going to do some Kaneka sausage, spicy fries, served with a golden mustard with honey mustard and sriracha. But so we're just going to spice it up a little bit for Mardi Gras, even though we can't get out and have big crowds and have those killer parades. We're going to try to have a party in your mouth when you come into Ed's.
Why don't we take one of these floats that we can't use downtown, you know, and we just make our own Ed's float, and we can just drive it around out in the parking lot and throw beads and what have you.
We got a big Ed's sign on the ground that we can make a float out of. It's a date.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got a trailer there that I could put a lounge chair in, you know, and I could get me somebody, one of them, you know, nice-looking ladies over there.
That's a great idea. I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah, and get to, you know, serving those Bushwhackers, you know, and I'm going like, yeah, just give me another bead to throw, baby.
You're going to have to be the commandant of the truck, though, and pull it and stay in the front.
Oh, hell no. No, because I want to drink the Bushwhackers. We'll find a PFC or a corporal to drive the truck.
That'd be Matt.
Yeah, there you go. Wait, well, Matt would make a good one.
He looks like a cop. He looks like a vet.
I know. He could have been one without any problem.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Phillip said he would volunteer. He would drive the truck around out there. Our engineer over here.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get to eat. You know that.
There you go. Right. Well, he was over the other day for our remote that we had over there, and he got to eat some of those shrimp.
Grilled shrimp.
Grilled shrimp, and he's still talking about them. Yeah. Had a blast.
Did he eat the shrimp on a shingle?
Nope, he didn't have that. He had a grilled shrimp platter, I think.
Yeah, it was like the hush puppies.
He had the hush puppies in the fries and what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he had the OG.
Yeah. What's that mean?
That's the classic, man. You know, that's the oldie but goldie.
Oh, oldie but goldie. Okay, all right. Yep. All right. See, I'm bringing you
in the millennial times right now.
I tell you what, it's going to be a long drawn out class. Can I just bring my cot and put it on the damn back porch or something?
It's on fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, this place is it? When's it going to open up? Nick, have a blast, buddy. We appreciate you, and we appreciate what you guys are doing over there, and we certainly appreciate you taking care of all of our vets and first responders.
Come get some bushwhackers. Thank you.
Hey, we'll be there.
All right,
buddy. Bye-bye.
We're going to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back. She said I had one just like her son in 1963. Hell, a man down at the bank took her from me. Oh, she was hotter than a $2 pistol. She was the fastest thing around. Long and lean, every young man's dream. She turned every head in town. She was built and fun to handle, son. I'm glad that you dropped in. She reminds me of the one I loved back then.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in. He's pounded
down. And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. I'm sure somebody's got to have some questions about some cars.
But, man, somebody give me a call. Let's find out about working on some cars. But because, you know, with all the people that ask me questions when I see them on the street now about fixing their cars, I've got a lot of stuff for you.
Yeah.
Number one, I called you to ask you about a Yukon the other day. I think it's 2016, and the guy said it sounded like a vacuum leak in his dash.
Yeah.
And you said, Oh no! Check your condenser. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he did.
Yeah.
He took it to the dealership and checked the condenser. Sure enough, it had a leak in it.
Yeah.
And you know, so you said, "Well, yeah, we've had problems with that, and I've seen some of those." So
right,
you called it right off the bat, Doc.
Next every patient. Every once in a while, I get
next
lucky.
Patient.
So we get lucky every once in a while. So yeah. It's you know, there's, and that's the advantage to go into a dealer, you know, because we see the same thing all the time.
Yeah, every day.
You know, now,
well,
you
it's
get
kind of
new ones.
But you, in other words, you're not working on that many models, right?
Right. We work on more than what a doctor does because
right.
There's really only two. Or
doctor unless, only working on two models. There, so
yeah.
They kind of got it made.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I don't know. Nowadays, there's a lot more than two. But I mean, really,
well,
there's
yeah,
only
some,
two.
Some of them you don't know. Yeah, I think Biden's having that problem, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to figure out which one is which. And if you don't feel happy with what you got, we'll change it or whatever.
Right.
I mean, you know, come on.
Unmodified, there's only two models.
There
so
that's,
anyway,
okay.
Let's put a little go there. But anyway.
A modified version.
Right. Anyway, we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, but those syringes with the steroids and testosterone and stuff works wonders, yep. Don't it?
But anyway, you know, it's and it's a constant battle trying to keep up with the new stuff that's coming out. You know, it's they change so much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the biggest things we have issues with trying to keep up with is the entertainment systems, you know.
Well, hell, they're more complicated than a lot of the other, you know, maintenance factors and the power sources on the vehicles.
Well, you know, the thing is they're trying to keep up with the latest technology that's out there with cell phones and
today.
Laptops, and you just can't do it.
You can't do that.
You know,
no,
you can't do it.
That stuff changes monthly.
Right.
Daily, weekly, you know, really.
Right. You know, it changes so fast that, you know, people, you know, of course, they get upset with us because their new phone won't work with their car, you know, and you know, it may take them just a little while, but, you know, they come up with fixes for it, you know, so we can move forward. But it's really not the vehicle's fault. It's more the technology that's been thrown out there after the car was built, you know, that may not be compatible with what what's out there, you know. So, you know, it's a constant problem, and you know.
Well, they've had that since we've got the cell phones, and we've got the phones that you could carry around with you even back in the day, you know, when they first got those cell phones, that they had a 5 watts power or whatever, and they would turn the car on and off. You know, some of them, they would mess up the electrical system on them.
Right.
You know, if they were mounted in the wrong place, on top of the transmission tunnel.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, we see so much of it, and you know, then you get the vehicles that we have one a while back. You know, we have noise cancellation systems in the, you know, an active noise cancellation system in a lot of our vehicles now. And you'll see people, they'll want to put, like a lot of people have over the years, put different ad speakers and put
boom boxes and stuff.
You know, an amp on different speakers and that. And they'll tie into the, you know, you have to tie into the factory radio system. Well, the problem you get into is the way an active noise cancellation system works is it takes the noise, it listens to the noise that's inside the cabin, and it gives a exact opposite noise and puts it over the speakers at the same volume, same level, same frequency, and they cancel each other out.
Come on now.
Yeah. And that's how it works.
Come on. I missed that class.
Yeah.
I didn't get certified in that.
And trust me, it does work. But it does work. What you get into is if you've modified your stereo system in your car, you have amplified that noise that they're putting back into the cabin to cancel it. And it doesn't know that it's amplified, and you have created one heck of a noise inside your vehicle.
All right, yeah. Okay.
And people are like, man, this thing you can't stand to be in it and drive it. It's like, okay, let me go drive it. And I'll run down the road and get to looking around and see what's going on. And like, it can't be that. Trust me, unhook your speakers and see. But
that's cool.
Yeah. We got Dave from Gulf Shores here with a text message.
Okay, big Dave. He gets with us right regularly.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know what? I enjoy a listener like that because you know he's keeping his ear to the ground. He's always got something going on, and that's cool.
Oh yeah, yep. This is it's buddy with a 2019 Honda Accord 2.0 turbo, beat a 2020 V6 Camaro to 100 mile an hour. Of course, it was on the racetrack, of course. But real or unlikely, it could very easily happen. The Camaro's a normally aspirated V6, makes 305 horsepowers. Not exactly a light car, but
what will that turbo on that 2.0?
Well, that 2.0 turbo, it is probably, I don't know the horsepower numbers on it, but I'd be willing to bet it's somewhere 250-ish, you know.
Look at the
weight difference in the size of the car.
What was it, a Honda?
Honda, yeah. And I tell you what, the little four-cylinder, we've got a 2-liter four-cylinder turbo in some of our Equinoxes in Malibu.
Hey, they'll light up your life.
They are impressive.
They are
very impressive.
You know, I drove a turbo Mustang to out to Oklahoma. One of my little previous wife had passed. One of her family had passed, and we were going out there to see them. And I had rented that, leased it, whatever the hell you want to call it. Hertz run a ride. And I said, let me try that. I want to try that Stang. And then I looked under the hood, and it was like a 2300. I went like, oh, what a piece of, you know. But then I looked over the side, and I saw that, you know, turbo over there. I said, ooh, this is going to be exciting. That thing would fly.
They run. It's really impressive what you can do with a small motor and a turbo.
It is.
Nowadays, you know. And the turbos are very small. I mean, you're not talking about a big turbo.
The improvement factor on turbos from when we first saw turbos coming out in what, 80s, early 80s or late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they were like a caterpillar or something trying to put it on a car, you know. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't have the guts. They just weren't built for the applications.
They just didn't understand the management systems.
Right.
You know, you can, where now, It's our little 1.5 that's in the Equinoxes and some of the Malibus and that kind of stuff, our small turbo motor.
Malibu's got a 1.5.
Well, my wife's Equinox has a 1.5 in it.
1.5.
Never know it. Know it run down the road.
Foot can drive that thing to Texas.
It'll sneak up to 100 mile an hour before you know it.
So, like you say.
But, you know, and it's pretty sporty.
1.5? That ain't even a third of a motor.
Yeah. It runs better than
us old school guys, man. Give me 454 cubic inches right now. Let's stroke it.
Yep. Well, you know, take that 1.5 and get on the interstate, and I think I averaged 35 miles a gallon running at 80 mile an hour. Yeah, so
what I would drive wouldn't even pass a gas station.
Right.
You know, have to have a tanker to follow me.
Yep. It's impressive what they do with them. But, you know, the management systems, whereas now we're putting probably, you know, 20 pounds of boost into, you know, a lot of our street cars. Yeah. Back in the day when they first come out, if you got 6 or 7 pounds, you were probably doing good.
Yeah, you said 20, that just scared me just then because I was afraid you're going to blow something up.
Well, the supercharged Buick Grand Sport Regal that I had, 99 Regal, 3,800 supercharged, pretty sporty little car for its time.
Sure.
Yeah. You know? I think it made right at 8 pounds of boost. I mean, it wasn't a lot, you know, but it works, you know. But, you know, the difference is with the turbos, they're able to run them through a intercooler where they can cool the charge before it goes back to the motor.
Well, that's
and
the
that's a huge
that's
huge
a secret
game.
To it right there.
Plus, they can control the fuel timing and the ignition timing and all that. And
honest to God, that's why we've got cars that we can put 300,000 miles on now.
Yep.
And they still drive, and the motor hadn't been changed, the cylinder head hadn't been replaced. And in most occasions, hardly anything has been changed because of the fuel and electrical management.
Right.
You know?
Right. They're, you know, with what they've done with the control systems is just huge.
Back in the day, if you try to get a little bit more horsepower out of it, you want to kick the timing, advance it a little bit and get it on up there.
Well, most people don't even know how to drive a car with a carburetor anymore.
No.
Because... you know, you got to get in it. You got to set the choke before you try and crank it and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, nowadays.
I wonder how many people get into cars now, though, and pat the accelerator.
Yeah.
You know, like we used to do with the carburetor.
You can if you like. It ain't doing nothing.
It ain't doing nothing.
If it makes you feel better, though, go ahead.
If it makes you feel better, do it twice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You know, pat it twice and move on. But, but it's time for us to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Bless you.
One day in, the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand. Sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world outside the darkened door where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free and love.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that paid
and welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Let me throw one at you.
Okay.
Heard this week, last few days, that Ford's got another big recall, and it has to do with airbags. It's from the same outfit.
Takata Airbags.
Takata. And, you know, they're bankrupt, but they're still trying. They're probably with Chapter 11, which everybody's doing now. And, you know, and if they owe you money, you just got screwed. So, anyway.
Right.
But anyway, they move on.
Mm-hmm.
And, it said it had to do with the airbags, but the original airbag scenario, as I recall it, had to do with the explosive device that set the airbags off, and seems to me like it went as far back to determine that whoever was producing the metal that those explosive devices were made out of had not been properly mixed or wasn't being properly mixed and didn't have the right metal deal in it, like tin and all these things. So in turn, the condensation was causing them to rust. Well, if it had a proper metallurgy mix there, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know?
The way it's been explained to me on the Takata stuff is actually the accelerant, which is the charge that makes it expand. It gets more volatile as it gets moisture in it and degrades. And what it's doing is it's actually rupturing, instead of, you know, exploding and putting out an air pressure to inflate the bag, it's actually rupturing the metal housings.
Right, making a hand grenade.
Making a hand grenade out of
it. Right, okay.
And sending the shrapnel out into the pasture compartment.
Okay, you know? Doc, I got a question. Mm-hmm. That's a closed unit with the accelerant that's inside of it and under pressure?
Mm-hmm.
How the hell is it getting moisture? Is it? Does it
well, it's not really – it's not under pressure because, you know, a lot of people think it's like a stored compressed gas,
right? Yeah, like CO2 cylinder.
Yeah, and that's not the way these work. And that loud pop you hear when a bag goes off, it's actually a controlled explosion. And the way it inflates the bag,
In a little atomic bomb.
Right, it sets off a little explosion, and that expanding hot air is what airs the bags up.
Ooh.
Okay. And most of the recalls, you don't replace the whole bag. You're replacing the inflator.
Oh, really?
So you take the bag out and you take the inflator out of it.
Well, I do. I wouldn't even want to be one to handle one of those because I think it'd go off. And you'd think you was back in Vietnam or something, you know?
Yeah.
With a landmine. Boom.
Well, there's boom. Precautions you have to take. And you have
I seen you
sure
blow one up one time down at a meeting that we had at certification. Mm-hmm. And you say, come check this out. I'm going to show you something. And you set that dude off out on the ground, and that dude must have went 100 feet or more in the air.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going like, what? That's a damn bomb. And I got one right in my face. Come on. Because that was a steering wheel.
You can set off that one bag, and it sounds like a shotgun going off.
It did, yeah.
But you got to understand that a lot of these cars, you'll have the driver's side airbag, the passenger side airbag. You'll have the two airbags, if not four airbags, in the two front seats. You'll have roof rail airbags that can
go off.
That's
too damn many airbags.
You got one that's a knee bolster airbag to protect your legs.
I can't remember all that.
You got charges in both the buckle side and the retractor side of your front seat belts. So you may have 10 airbags go off in that one.
So now we know why when you have an accident and all the airbags blow, the car is totaled.
It's
blowed that sucker up.
Right. And it's really, okay, you've damaged the dash, the steering wheel, the steering column.
All the above.
The seat upholstery, the headliner,
right?
You know,
the electronics in the dash, which could have your EC module at all.
Yeah, so you do a lot of damage when you set airbags off. I mean, it can be ugly in a hurry.
How many have you seen where only the door airbags would go off, and not the rest of them? Is that a rare deal?
It's fairly rare. Now, what you'll get is you'll get your roof rail, your seat belts, and sometimes you may get a side impact. If it senses a rollover, situation. So if it thinks it's rolling over, it's listed over too far. And
so it's the little gyro gets out of whack on there, then it's something's going to give.
It has a rollover sensor and a yaw rate sensor. So it knows how far off of its level sitting position it is.
Ooh.
It also knows if the car is going straight, but is heading down the road in one direction, but the car is not straight. Say if it's sliding sideways.
And that would be the yaw?
That's the yaw rate.
Right.
Yeah.
Y'all wait, because I'm fixing to jump out.
Yeah.
Y'all wait.
So y'all watch this. It's
y'all
about to get
this.
Big.
Yeah, watch this deal.
But, it knows pretty
That's
well.
That's why they don't let me drive anymore, because I like a lot of y'all. Get them sideways, baby, get on the old muddy roads.
I got accused.
Country boy days, yeah.
I got accused of that a few times on the racetrack, for sure.
Oh, well, if you ain't hanging out, you ain't going fast.
Well, I like the loose race car, so, I mean, it's
loose is fast.
Right.
You know?
Right. It didn't bother me to be hung out sideways.
No, yeah, so. No. But it was all those people around you that you were. That
well,
was
if it
having.
Made them nervous, then I was good too.
That's so. Right. Yeah, if you, yeah, because they'd get the hell away from you, and you could go on and win, right. Get the money.
Well, he's about to spin out. I better get out of his way.
Yeah, he's fixing. Yeah, he's fixing to be an accident. I'm fixing to see an accident here, and I don't want to be involved in it.
But about 20 laps later, when I'm still doing it, they figured out, well, maybe he ain't going to lose it yet. So
yeah, he's got them concrete tires on it.
Yeah,
there.
Yep,
so. Don't ever wear out. Right, well, okay, then, have you heard or do you have any knowledge about what the new airbag problem is with the Ford products? That, have you heard anything on the internet, on the radio or
I have not.
TV or anything?
My guess is it's just a different part number bag that they've added to the recall. I know, you know, GM had argued with them because we hadn't seen any issues with the passenger side airbag on like the Silverados and the half ton Silverados and the Tahoes, Yukons and the Sierras.
Right.
They did finally issue a come to an agreement, and they've decided to replace inflators in those, and they're doing them in a phased situation so we can get them done in an orderly manner.
Right, yeah. You can't do them all at one time.
You know, so it's
now that being said, don't or doesn't the manufacturer send out notifications to the owners that they know or the last owner that information that they had? Mm-hmm. And kind of in a controlled scenario so you guys don't get flooded in an area?
They do. And with the way the airbags have been failing, vehicles that are in high humid, hotter areas get more, you know.
Mobile.
They get released earlier there than they do in Arizona where everything's dry.
Oh, yeah. Know? Okay.
So, the humidity seems to be a big issue with them, you know. So, the areas that are more humid get the recall.
I believe we got that. I think we got that covered. I think we got the humid covered down here on the coast.
But, you know, that's one thing about the recalls, though. Until it is released on from GM, we can't do it. You know, it's got to be
– okay. So the customer's open. Got to have a letter of authorization?
Not necessarily. Normally you will have one, but you know, we have to at least check the VIN number and the vehicle information sheet on it.
So and, okay, so you guys get a certification of warranty mm-hmm. on those specific units by VIN number.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that we do whenever we write a vehicle up, for service or whatever, if it comes in the shop, is we'll run what they call a VIS, which is Vehicle Information Sheet, and it'll give you the warranty coverage, any recalls that are open. It'll give you the warranty history on the vehicle, and it gives you a few other things, you know, there, whether the OnStar is active or that kind of thing.
In other words, it diagnoses that between the numbers and all that you can – generate from the vehicle back to that computer, and it will just about diagnose just about everything that's wrong with it except what's causing the light to come on right now.
Well, that one really doesn't diagnose the vehicle, but it does give you the information to know whether it's going to be a warranty issue or not, or whether it needs to have that recall done or not. And it gives us some information as to whether it's been to another dealer and had some warranty repairs done.
Okay. And what has been done and what hadn't been done.
Right.
Basically,
right.
Okay.
So,
but, you know, that's – here you go again. It's our technology in electronic communication is so refined.
Right.
That, I mean, you know, if anything's done at a dealership with that vehicle, that it's going to be recorded on that VIN number, and then it immediately goes into the jacket in the software somewhere for that vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. If it's been done under factory warranty, it's going to be on that sheet. You know, some of the information may be a little vague. I mean, it's not a detailed essay on exactly what they did. Now, it's a highlight of what operation number was done, when it was done, what dealership did it.
My mind can go crazy over all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Here's a question. If I go to buy a Chevrolet product or a General Motors product, and I want to know the background and history on it, can I come to y'all and y'all go out and take my VIN number on it and put it in the computer? Can you give me all of this information?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that a viable deal for somebody that may be wanting to buy a car or something?
It's not a bad thing to do. I'd always want to know what the warranty history is on my vehicle. It's kind of like getting a Carfax. Yeah, it's the warranty side of the Carfax thing. Now, if you get a Carfax, all that information is on there. So, because all the manufacturers report to Carfax, so that's on there.
Well, yeah. Does it cost people to get a Carfax now?
Usually, yes.
Does it cost them to come get that information from y'all?
No.
Ooh, we don't. I know where I'm going. Yeah. So, but now, next thing is, what if I decided I want to maybe buy that car or truck? Can I get it to y'all and pay you to check it out?
We do, and that's the thing about having the warranty information is that really just gives you the warranty information. It won't give you what, you know, Jim Bob's, you know, tire that.
Oh, well, we don't know that.
Down the road.
Only dealers.
Yeah, and some, you know, independents do report, but mostly just that. But sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and let's hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Next patient.
Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation, and men like Kix and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy, always on the go, doing what they best know how to do. Jamming gears has got to be a fever.
It's the Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
The doctor is in the house. Next patient, please.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle. I'm Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106.
Either that or send us a Bushwhacker.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean,
you
know, hell, just, you know, you can leave ice cream off. That'd be all right. But, and yep. I think I want to try one of those. And I'm just wondering, wouldn't that dilute the amount of adult beverage that is in that glass?
I think they factor all that in. So
maybe they add more because they know it's going to be diluted. So
yeah,
if you take out the ice cream, you know, and put it in a bowl right side of it and all, then you get to get a, oh, yeah, let's get one of them adult beverages.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it tastes the same, though. I don't know. Whichever works, you know.
Oh, man, you know, it's just like a lot of medicine you take. You know it's good for you. Just suck it up.
Right.
Get it. Do it fast, you won't think about the taste.
Exactly. But I tell you, it's, you know, we had a great month at UJ last month. You know, sales numbers were great. Service was good. We kind of run out of vehicles again, you know. But
you know what? I see that in a lot of dealerships. I know, my son Tony had the same problem.
Yep.
I mean, they sold out all their new stuff, and it was into the used stuff.
And I know Ford and Chrysler and Fiat and a lot of the manufacturers are having trouble getting the microprocessors and that.
The
chips and all for their computers.
Maybe they're making them for all the damn Facebook people that's blowing up all those computers, and all of them are getting shot with them 12 gauges out in Texas.
Yeah, I don't know. That's I tell you, it's caused some issues. You know, we're getting. Yeah, you know, we're getting cars in. You know, demand is good. You know, problem is we can't supply all that we need to supply.
Well, you know,
but you know, we're doing the best we can. You know, there's the supply side of it is still struggling. You know, they're I'm not going to swear all the manufacturers are 100% back up yet. Of course, we were just talking a while ago about the Biden miracle that they've opened. You know, ease restrictions everywhere.
Yeah,
that's
a miracle. I mean, he just
couple days
walked
after
in
he got
and banged. Yeah, everything's getting back open again.
Everything's
isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's kind of cool how that works.
Yeah, he's performed a miracle.
Yeah, but if that's what it takes to get everything back up and running,
let's get up and run and let's make some money.
Yeah.
Southern just keep spending it. Damn, Somebody's got to pay that bill one day.
Well, yeah.
And it's going to be our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren.
I won't be around long enough to pay it off.
That, I won't either, you know, but I hate to burden them with all that.
Yeah.
I'd hate to think that my parents and grandparents and all would have left me with you know, $30 trillion damn dollars in debt.
I know. I just had a little grandbaby this past summer, so she'll be paying for that one.
Oh, yeah. Well. But you know what? You know what they're going to do is gas is going to go up. They're going to put about 10 to 15 cents a gallon on gas and additional gas tax. And then, you know, then we're cutting out our oil. So then we've got that problem. But then.
Notice gas is already up about 20 cents.
I noticed that. 2 weeks. I noticed that. But you know what? We're pushing the green deal. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any problem with that. Because somewhere down the line. All the ways that we have been doing things in the past haven't worked, and we need to get involved in that. But that's not, it's not like this little miracle that Biden's got.
Well, clip a switch, you know, and okay, we're done with fossil fuels. We're going to go all electric. Okay, what about all the cars that are out there right now that need fossil fuels to run?
Let me ask you this.
Well, buy new ones. Well, I can't buy a new one because, you know,
well,
you've been working.
I keep hearing about this electric grid that we have and the fact that how obsolete it is and how one transformer could blow up in New Jersey and shut everything down on the East Coast. And we got all these electric cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are we going? What, are you going to have little generators to crank up and charge all these things, you know? And then we got to have gas for them damn generators, you know? So I hope they don't cut out all the gas, you know what I mean? You know? And then we'll have little bicycles out there with pedals on them with a little generator on it, and we would just be pedaling our little butts off trying to charge a battery on our car so we can go to work.
Well, they're going
to
make you do that because it's good for you to get out there and ride that bike and then charging your electric car up.
I'm beyond that.
And then you can, you know, so they're doing it for your own good.
I did all that stuff a long time ago. We saved that for all you young people.
If I ride a bike, it's going to have a motor on it.
I don't have a problem with stuff that's happening as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that we are pushing some of the envelope a little bit too fast, and we're not getting some of our other stuff to taken care of to, you know, stay caught up with it.
Right.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves on what the capabilities of our country is. Mm-hmm. And so let's say that we put 4 more million cars out there and they're going to have to charge their cars at night. What's going to happen to our grid? Are we going to blow that sucker and then everything goes down? And then, you know, they fired electric cars, but they don't run. We don't have no electricity to charge them.
Right. You know, and it's all going to come to a head. I mean, it'll happen. The electric cars are coming.
Y'all don't have a problem with that. I think they're awesome. And, you know,
GM as well as all the other manufacturers have been right on board with it and really pushing to get a lot of electric vehicles
and
out.
I don't have a problem with that.
Technology is really coming along. So they'll be good, viable cars. They'll perform well and do well.
If we have electricity.
If we got all the electricity we need.
Right.
And so we'll see. It's
they better make some of those green cars, you know, that charges them. They better make some of them that when you go down a hill, you push a button or something, and it doesn't use the power. It charges the battery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're on board with that one too. But
and
it's
then as you're charging, as you're taking it out on the right front, there's a motor there. Then we need to have an alternator connected to the left front. So whatever we take out. 12 amps, we need to put 12 or 13 back in it.
Yeah. You know, that's that perpetual motion machine that they ain't figured out how to make work yet.
If we don't fix our grid, we're going to need it, baby.
Right. So to get it going, you just push it down a hill and get it rolling.
Yeah, but everybody will be wanting to live on the hill then, man, you know.
Right. Yeah. That works getting you to work if you live on top of the hill, but trying to get back home may be a problem.
We can build some bicycles that's got small tires on the back, you know, and got extra heavy duty, you know, overdrive gears and all in them, so we can pull that sucker down the road until we get it going fast enough and charge the battery in it, then it'll go.
Well, know. Back to pedaling again. No, we ain't doing all that.
Damn it,
so.
You know, I just can't get away from that pedaling, dude.
That's right. That's right. We'll all be back to riding bikes for it, yep. with. But, yeah, not from where I live. I know I'm not going to do that.
So, nope, I'll pass.
No, I'm out on that one. But, yeah, it's – anyway, hopefully we can get
– You three?
Yeah. Hopefully we can get the inventory back the way it should be here shortly. And everybody's
that.
Fighting the same thing. All
I foresee that, you know, if that's coming.
Yeah, that'll be that's coming. And we got more vehicles coming right now. And, you know, it's we're building our inventory back up. And, I mean, of course, they're selling them almost as fast as we're getting them in.
So. You know what, Kevin? They're some of the finest vehicles that I've ever set my old butt down in.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, and just the capabilities of these rides mm-hmm. and the comfort level of it. And we used to talk about, well, I'm going to get in my old pickup truck and just ride on down there. I know it's rough. But, no, hey, that pickup truck probably drives better than your car does today.
Well, right now, I mean, it's not really – it ain't your grandpa's old work truck anymore.
No, it's a luxurious ride.
Yeah.
And it's got every capability that a car has.
It's
and
got all the same toys and bells and whistles.
But you might pay $70,000 for it. So.
Well, you can get there.
I know,
you
right
can
quick.
Get there. Yeah.
I saw a Lincoln LT pickup truck the other day. I'm going like, whoa, I bet that's a $100,000 ride.
Yeah. Looks like we're running up to the end. We about
have we run out of time?
All right. Yeah, I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Runk along with Tom Claxton, and we will be back next week.
Next patient, please.
For the foolish things I do, you may want.